Hey, what's going on, Guardians? TBL here, with a quick note that if you'd like to join us for a live recording of the Planet Destiny podcast, you can do that each week, Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern or 4 p.m. Pacific, over at twitch.tv/planet_destiny. That is twitch.tv/planet_destiny. Tune in live and be a part of the chat. You may even be able to get a question answered live on the show, and we'd love to see you there. Anyways, without further ado, please enjoy this week's episode.
Quick question right out the gate. What is your favorite smoked meat?
That's an excellent question. I would say probably ribs.
Yeah.
We'll go ribs. Ribs, it hits the sweet spot of long enough to feel like there's a process to it. But it's not so much where I lose sleep making it, like pulled pork or a brisket.
Right.
So it's like the perfect amount. 6 hours where like not everybody wants to do it. I have fun doing it. It's perfect. Plus they're delicious.
So your ribs, do you use a dry or like a liquid rub?
Dry only. I make my own rub, marinate it dry for 48 hours, and then I smoke it for about 6. Normally, ribs are done in around the 6-hour mark.
Hell yeah. Awesome.
We've had to stop myself so much right now.
Oh, there's, I'm sure.
So much
exactly. Yeah, this is your hell.
So we had Mosh Pat on probably like 3 months ago now.
Mm-hmm.
The guy made a steak in the oven, and he brought it out and took pictures and was very proud.
Uh-huh.
and posted it in the Discord. And I was like, dude, I don't know how much boot leather you eat, but that definitely looks like the side of a boot. Welcome in to the fine folks at home to the Planet Destiny podcast number 289. My name's Dan Finity. TBL's out on assignment. For the panel, we have special guest host Ellie Bean from the Planet Destiny stream team.
Hello.
And special guest Hathematics. So, why don't we get into a little bit of like, how'd you get into gaming? How'd you get into Destiny 2? What all drove you to this game and this community that we all love?
Sure. Gaming. I have an older brother who kind of taught me the way. We grew up playing Sega Master System. If I'm aging myself a little bit, I'm sorry. So that's just how we always connected. And he and I will play StarCraft every now and again and that kind of stuff together. But in high school, I was a massive Halo fan. And I just have kind of followed Bungie since those days. So Halo 1, 2, the whole nine yards all the way up through Reach. And then when Destiny was coming out, all of my Halo buddies were talking, and we decided that we would all buy PlayStation 4s. And we were involved in the beta. I'm not quite on that alpha vet level. Almost. But... I've been playing this game since the D1 beta, and I love it. It's a part of me.
Heck yeah. That's awesome, man. So what drove you to like start making content out of it?
That's a great question. I honestly I'm not sure why I started. One day I was just live on Twitch, and then I've just been kind of figuring it out as I've gone.
Heck yeah.
I've always wanted to help people. And I have always focused on PvP and trying to help people go flawless. And I've always had to better myself to be able to put myself in a position to help others. And I've tried to steer my content more in that direction of coaching and helping. But then eventually at some point I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to grow a personality and just have fun with my content. And it's been a lot more fun just kind of messing around and making whatever I want, whether it's helpful or whether it's like a parody video or whatever. I just kind of do whatever.
Heck yeah. Sounds good. So what, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about PvP, especially.
Has there? I haven't heard any of it.
Well, I mean, I think there has been a bit of it. Like, some members are quieter than others, but there has been some. When it comes to Destiny 2 PvP and some of the things that are coming up on the horizon, what are you excited for? What do you feel? What do you feel could be improved that they haven't touched on yet?
Sure.
And where's your sweet spot?
So the first thing next season, which I think is 9 days from now, I am salivating over the Nova Warp changes.
Mm. Yeah.
The lack of the charge up for the heavy attack is just, I mean, it's going to be so much fun for me. I love Astrocyte Burst. I was just playing with it earlier today, and it's such a fun class, but breaking the momentum to do that heavy attack is always kind of rubbed me the wrong way a bit.
Yeah.
So that's a huge change that I'm excited for. Long term, I still think that we need some type of a comp rework. There needs to be some type of like a ladder system. If I kind of go back to my Halo days and I looked at Halo 3 and I looked at Halo Reach, there was that type of a system where there was competitive and there were ranked and unranked modes for basically every single game mode in Halo. And these are the same people that made Oddball. These are the same people that made King of the Hill and Griffball and all these other wild game modes. So I'm excited to see the refocus happening. I'm understanding that it's going to take time. I get that it's, you know, there's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes, but I wish it were happening sooner, but I'm super excited that it is at least on the pipeline and that we've got a lot of things to look forward to in the future.
Heck yeah. Excellent. Well, and Ellie,
yes.
What about you? We haven't had you on in a while.
Yes.
How have your experiences been in PvP? What are your thoughts going on?
I'm
going
to be honest. I haven't really been playing Destiny as much as I used to.
Understandable.
I'm big on the Destiny burnout lately, but I agree with understood. Everything that Hath has said. I'm excited that changes are coming. I just wish they were coming sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited about the I'm excited to find out what is coming on the horizon on August 24th. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Definitely.
They've got to talk about like how long the next season's going to be.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, that is going to be front and center in everybody's mind. And like, when we can expect Witch Queen, like they have to drop a release date for Witch Queen,
yeah.
I think. But like, they also have to like talk about the elephant in the room, be like, yeah, like either for the next 4 to 6 months, you're not like, you're going to have to like stretch it out, or like, we have this thing that we're just going to kind of throw in there, which I also can't imagine.
But right.
Like, we'll see, man. So moving on from there, this week in the Destiny community, we had the epilogue mission drop on Tuesday.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Where a lot of things came to pass. Mm-hmm. If you'd been paying attention to some early dispatched lore book pages, you kind of knew what was going to happen going in. Mm-hmm. But we saw the fall of Lakshmi in the city, how she opened a Vex portal in the Botsa district, where the Fallen are residing, and the teaming up of Saint 14 and Mithrax and the Fallen. And what are your guys' thoughts on these events? How did you guys feel going into that mission?
When Saint said, "You are my people," I 100% lost my shit. Oh, it was fantastic. I loved it.
It was a very cool mission. I loved seeing Nova Warp get some airtime. My girl Akora representing. So that was a great mission. I thought that they touched a lot of awesome story points, and it just kind of shows how much they've grown in-game storytelling this year versus the last several. Definitely the best story start to finish so far that we've seen in the Destiny world.
Yeah, very allegorical. Mm-hmm. Like, it's coming around to real world events very, very heavily. And I thought they handled it very well from the outgo. However, I am a little disappointed. Amanda Holiday had the chaperone, right?
Yeah.
And she fires it, and she hits the Vex, she hits the Minotaur in the dome, but the spot is right here in his belly.
Yeah.
just aim for the torso. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine.
Aim for the soft, squishy spot.
Yeah. We also have Osiris looking over the entire proceedings, just kind of sus like, just kind of like, hey, I'm gonna do some bad shit. It's gonna be awesome.
Yo, check this shit out. It's gonna be dope.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where they go in the story from here, especially since really we're the only ones who know anything about Osiris going on, even more so than our character. Which is kind of nuts in its own way. We also had some updates about the champ mods that we will be using next season.
Season of the Voop.
Season of the Voop. Big Voop times. What are your guys' thoughts on the seasonal mod structure as we have it right now? And what do you guys see kind of taking the charge when it comes to these seasonal champ mods?
Ellie, do you want to go first?
Sure. So it's a good idea that they shake up the meta in order to for each mod, but like I don't know, it feels forced. I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of it because I don't always want to be using the same kind of guns to do the same things.
Right.
Yeah.
I like it. I like changing up seasonally. It helps me feel like it's kind of like a little refresher almost.
Yeah.
The thing that I dislike the most about that system is how expensive it is to reset the artifacts.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I want to mess around with new PvP builds and I want to try this specific one and then I have to reset it when I realize, oh, you know what, that actually doesn't work in PvP. Then I have to spend 75,000 glimmer to redo it. It's kind of a mess. Yeah. Beyond that, though, I think it's a really cool system that adds some interesting mechanics. I'm very excited about the fusion rifle being added. I think it is a little weird, though, that they have so few anti-barrier mods.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe they forgot one in the promotional material. Who knows? But yeah, I think that the number was a little bit off.
Well, and they did say that I believe they said swords would be also be getting an overload.
Overload, yep.
As well, right? Mm-hmm. So we have like five different options for overload. If I'm correct, or for
I think it's
no. So we have
four overload, for unstoppable, and then two for overload. I think.
Yeah. So we have bows and swords would be overload.
Ugh.
Unstoppable are linear fusion rifles, pulse rifles, as well as sidearms, which I love a sidearm as much as the next guy, right? Like as much as the next person, enjoy it. However, I don't know why they keep trying to make sidearms a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop trying to make sidearms a thing.
Right. Yeah.
It's like this season was one. It's like, nope, not going to do it. Next season, probably the same thing.
Yeah.
I
can't imagine rifles doing that in a GM, pulling a sidearm into a GM. Like you need to have distance in a GM. I can't see it.
Yeah. Especially, well, I mean, when it comes to unstoppable, like that's a little bit more like understanding. When it came to overload, no.
Oh, yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like you're not rolling up on a dude
right.
with a sidearm. To do that, but like when it comes to unstoppable, I can see it. It's just the long distance options or the mid range options when it comes to fusion rifles is actually like kind of perfect, kind of like pitch perfect spot. When with anti barrier auto rifles are always like in that slot.
Yep,
which like makes a lot of sense because they just hit over range. But I don't know. I kind of want to see something else in there, but I don't know what it would be.
I would have preferred fusion rifles to be anti-barrier. I think that would have
been... As well?
Yeah, I think that would have been more fun. For me personally, at least.
If they had made like a dual purpose... Ooh. Mod. So if you threw that on your arm, you threw that on your arms, but you also threw the unstoppable on there.
I see. I see. I'm into it.
That'd be something else.
I think like they could. I think pulse rifle would have been fine as an anti-barrier. Mm-hmm. Fusion rifle, it worries me because of the charge up time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For anti-barrier, the amount of health that they would get, I don't know. I don't know how long the shield would stay up. But yeah, I feel like pulse rifle could have been there. SMG, anything with more range than a sidearm and any, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just give me more than one, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
In my opinion, they peaked with the sniper anti-barrier. That was
100%. Yeah.
The most. It performed the best, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
That was a really solid choice. I mean, Bond the Dan or Hot Rod in chat did point out we are going to get Telesto as an unstoppable weapon next season. I guess that also makes Vex Mythoclast an unstoppable weapon.
Yep.
Jotun will be an option. I don't see Sleeper Simulant becoming a thing, but
not unless it gets,
you know, who
buff.
Knows? Yeah. I mean, and it was expected to get a buff.
Yeah.
Still, right? Like, we're not waiting on that, right?
I thought it shipped already. I thought after VOG, I thought that it shipped, but it just wasn't shipped in time for VOG. But I could be wrong.
I can't remember if it shipped or not.
I don't possibly. Remember.
I don't know.
1K is going to be fun. We do have Arbalest. Rudy.
Yeah, 1K is going to be ridiculous.
Arbalest and Bastion will be good options too.
Arbalest will be great.
Bastion. Yeah. Just some nutty options.
Yeah.
It should be fun. And that, yeah. And anything that kind of, I love Anarchy. Mm-hmm. I love Wither Horde. Mm-hmm. I love my blinding nade grenades.
Right.
However, I have been using them nonstop for 3 to 4 months.
Exactly.
And so I'm very excited to get them off of my character and put somewhere else for a while. We will also be getting stasis weapons.
That's true.
This season.
It's true.
So we got some stuff to talk about later.
You know, I just remembered. Horror Story might actually get some use if it comes back.
Yeah. Oh my god. You're not wrong.
it's towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Festival of the Lost.
Yeah. Well, if the season ends around then, yeah, who knows? I don't know.
Might be, yeah, it might be into February for all we know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, okay. August, September, October, and then another season. November, December, January. End of January is going to be probably when it drops. So we got 2 seasons left.
Yeah, well, yes and no. Like, because this is really the last season that they've, like, that they're contracted through Beyond Light.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So they could pop another one in there if they, like,
I
have it already worked up.
Right.
But if they didn't, by the time that they were, like, deciding to push it back, I don't know, man.
Season of Arrivals 2, it's even longer.
Yeah. Right.
We heard you liked Season of the Undying.
Right. Now do it again.
We brought the Vex portal back to the tower. So, I don't know, man. We'll just have to see what that's all about. But I am excited for the change up in the meta when it comes to champ mods. I also want to see what mods we'll be getting to for our grenades. If we'll be getting anti-barrier grenades or anything like that for our abilities. That would be something else. Also, the return of possibly one of the greatest overload weapons of all time, Liminarch, will be making a rotation back onto my character. That was super nice. Shout out to Sutledge for showing me that one.
The slutty egg.
Yeah. But outside of that, why don't we get into some armor tuning? This was kind of like the big meaty chunk, the brisket of the cloud, as it were. First of all, before we get in, what are your overall thoughts going, like, coming out of the TWAB about armor changes?
I liked almost everything that I saw. I mm-hmm. love some of the creative reworks that mm-hmm. they put in there for some of the underperforming classes. Very excited about that. The only thing from a selfish PvP player perspective that does not use Titan, I'm a little upset that I didn't see Dune Marchers tuned on there. But
Yeah, that's something I was going to bring up as well. I'm right. As a Titan main, I'm legitimately surprised it's not getting nerfed.
Right. I did see that Tokom mentioned in a reply to Glow that that is on their radar, but okay. will not be mm-hmm. shipping next season and will not be ready for to ship alongside Witch Queen. But that doesn't mean that it won't happen the same season as Witch Queen. Right. It just won't be ready.
That same
exactly.
Window.
On launch date.
Yeah.
Right. So, getting into it. The super regenerating exotics. So we have the Shards of Galanor, Ursa Furiosa's Skull of Dire Ahamkara, Phoenix Protocol Storm Dancer's Brace, and Geomag Stabilizers. All kind of getting like a flat 50%.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On their super energy regeneration. What do you guys think about that?
I'm honestly fine with it. Especially yeah. Geomags.
Yeah. Yeah, their time in the sun is it's over. Yeah. Something had to be done.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about Storm Dancers personally.
Yeah. What exactly about it makes you like most excited?
The fact that I'm able to buff my Storm Trance damage output and then also get super energy back just seems like mm-hmm. that synergy of just being able to pop constantly and just be like an orb farm for my team just seems mm-hmm. awesome. And I love seeing exotics that I only used once or twice coming back mm-hmm. Into the forefront like that. That's a very creative way to buff an exotic that desperately needed a buff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We are seeing a lot of the exotics that you maybe took out for like a stroll once mm-hmm. come back in kind of a big way.
Right.
And like with Storm Dancer's Brace. I mean, like, I haven't used like Skull of Dire Ahamkara in like ages.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm not normally like a warlock guy. So, but Shards of Galanor, the things that I'm going to be real sad about are about Shards of Galanor, because it's like the DPS option,
right?
Really, mm-hmm. on Atheon right now. Mm-hmm. You pop. I ran it the other night. I finally got Vex on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations!
Like, it was. I had chat betting against me. It was, but like, finally got that to go off. But the Hunter run, I was popping like four or five of those like blade barrages
right.
at a time, just like. Why didn't I know this? How is this not a thing? I want to do this all the time. And then, like, they're going to smash it right back. So, kind of a little upset about that. A little upset about Ursa's, because that's kind of my GM go-to.
Mm-hmm.
But it should
that's
change
point,
up
though.
How people... Say what?
That's the point, though.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
everybody uses it. You mm-hmm. can't use anything else. With Titan specifically. Yeah. So with Phoenix Protocol and Ursa Furiosa, you really can't do anything else if you're doing mm-hmm. any high-end content. It's those options are nothing. And I'm excited to actually use other stuff.
For sure.
We have... I think it's good that they're flattening... They're not only flattening some of the mechanics of how we receive rewards a lot of the time in Destiny 2, specifically from vendors, but they're also flattening how much super we get back to be more fair.
Yeah.
I guess
right.
it's like the best thing that way, like no class really pokes its head up over another when it comes to regeneration,
mm-hmm.
which I can see. It does feel like it's, there's been a lot of talk about like too little too late. in PvP mm-hmm. and so forth, this we've had it too fat, like we've had it too good on the hog for so long
right.
that like we're going to these changes are definitely going to affect some people in some very meaningful ways
for sure.
retunes and reworks, we have the Bombardiers on the Hunter. So the bomb now has a secondary effect based on the subclass type. So blind for arc, burn for solar, and slow for stasis, and suppress for void. The suppression will not affect a guardian in super.
I'm frustrated by that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you could time that detonation mm-hmm. alongside a super, then you absolutely yeah. deserve to get that, to take that guardian out of the super. That'd yeah. be super hard.
The,
it's a skill.
Exactly.
It is a skill. The only issue that I could foresee with that is just how quickly the dodge comes back and how mm-hmm. the grenade yeah. charge up time is so much slower with Titan and with Sentinel specifically. So if they had some type of a cooldown where that would only happen every so often, yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. But they would just need to be careful with how they tuned that.
Mm-hmm.
Randomized fizz bang.
Right.
So like, right. So like, it does like,
oh, so when, it would have a chance jump, to suppress.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Have like 80% of the time it doesn't do it, but that one time that it does, you're just like, oh,
that one time.
That one time.
You're getting chased by a hammer. You just take them out of it. It'd be so yeah. satisfying.
I could also see that being super useful in like Pit of Heresy totems. If you're doing solo totems, mm-hmm. I could see that being very useful.
Yeah.
And there,
blind or suppress, like, either of them, really.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Graviton Forfeit. Increase the bonus invisibility duration. The melee regeneration speed now increases based on the number of enemies near you. And while you are invisible, your recovery is greatly increased and your weapons reload more quickly. Lucky Pants. They added intrinsic hand cannon holster mod, replaced previous functionality with the following. When you ready a fully loaded hand cannon that deals kinetic damage or damage matching your subclass energy type, for a short period of time, each hit against a combatant from the hand cannon increases the damage of the next slot. No, Hawkmoon will not be able to one-shot raid bosses using these legs. Other hand cannons will get a fun edge in combat, though. What is the hand cannon holster mod? A new kind of mod that reloads stowed weapons. More on that below. So, thoughts on that?
You can go ahead. Okay, I'll go. My first thought was, oh my god, they've done it again. They've found a way to break PvP. Thankfully, that damage buff does not apply to PvP. It's a cool, their whole goal seems to have been, let's shift the meta. Let's give people ways of using exotic primaries again in PvE. And I mm-hmm. think that that's an awesome option of increasing DPS and giving people a reason to use things like Ace or use Thorn or mm-hmm. anything else really. So I like it. I think it's cool. And I think, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Will last word become a PvE weapon?
Oh, God.
Ellie, the look on your face.
Ugh. I'm sorry. Every time somebody mentions the last word and PvE, I immediately flash back to a time where my friends and I tried to do War Priest with just last word, and it was not a fun time.
No, we can get him this time, guys.
Yeah,
we can definitely
exactly.
do it.
Ugh. It was awful. But I like the fact that if you're using an energy weapon, it has to match your subclass. Because mm-hmm. most of the time, if I'm doing like super high end stuff, I'm doing my subclass is going to be different from the other two.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. I like that it adds the little bit of risk reward kind of deal. To it.
Heck yeah. Moving on to Titan, we have Precious Scars. Will now also create a burst of healing and bonus recovery around you whenever you kill an enemy with a weapon whose damage type matches your subclass type. Icefall Mantle, remove the slower class ability recharge scaler. They're doing a lot when it comes to your subclass mm-hmm. and matching it with whatever the effects are. That's interesting. I wonder if we'll see like a Pokemon style like resistance down the line. If they keep adding elements, like what was it? In chat, Hot Rod asked corruption subclass with Witch Queen. I mean, at this rate, if they do, then they're gonna have to add resistances.
Yeah, they will. Yeah.
With all the different things.
That would be super interesting in the long run.
It would change how you went into encounters.
Exactly.
For sure.
Significantly. Because mm-hmm. you're like, oh no, I'm Stasis and I'm going up against a fire boss.
Yep. And you'd get melted.
Warlock, Verity's Brow. Changed to trigger when you get a weapon kill that matches your subclass energy type. Increase grenade damage bonus to 20% per stack, up to 10%. The Stag grants damage reduction to allied guardians standing in your rifts, 25% against combatants, 15% against players. Promethium Spur has additional functionality. While standing in a rift, solar weapon kills give you class ability energy. When your class ability energy is full, solar weapon kills consume that energy and spawn a combination healing and powering rift at the target's location.
That's pretty badass.
Heck yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I really like where that's going, especially when it comes to like the subclass or like the energy of the same subclass, because that can like the possibilities open wide up for different armor types or different armor things to have to pop up.
Yeah, so Promethium Spur, with it gaining additional functionality, it should, I believe it's still tied to Dawnblade. So if that's the case, then if I'm using Dawnblade and I wanted to use an unstoppable fusion rifle, I could take a look at something like Merciless. Ugh. And suddenly that is a really nasty build for GMs because I can just create healing rifts and buffing rifts kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Merciless keeps getting brought up in the conversation about the champion mods next season too, especially since you're not going to kill the bubble. That doesn't count as a kill. It's just like, and then off to do extra damage to the champ. That'll be super neat. Finders, scavengers, and holsters. Ammo finder now have an increased chance to spawn ammo on kills with primary weapons and further increased chance with exotic primaries. Scavengers, multiple copies of scavenger mods of the same type no longer stack. That hurts a little bit.
Yeah, but it's needed.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. I shouldn't have as much heavy as I do during GM sometimes. holsters, this is a new type of leg armor mod that will gradually reload stowed weapons of the matching type over time. Multiple copies of holster mods of the same type will increase the rate ammo is reloaded. So it's just auto reload, but for whatever.
Yeah, it's baby auto reload.
Into it. Hand cannon excludes Ariana's vow.
Which has it on the catalyst anyway.
Yeah. And rocket launchers, breech loaded grenade launchers, and bows will not have holster mods, as we don't want to affect any weapon that has a magazine size of 1. So
that's going to make any weapon with auto loading holster basically useless.
Yeah. On certain grenade launchers.
Yeah. Go like, for it. That's cool.
That's basically the only reason why you need, like, why you should have it.
Mm-hmm. Or unless the mods themselves are expensive, then you could spec into other things while still, you know, having the auto reload intrinsically in the weapon.
That's fair.
Yeah. Shotguns. Like, a lot of shotguns have auto loading holster. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It'll be. I think it also adds like a level of characterization that or personalization on that front that we haven't had in the past. So that's super interesting.
That's my favorite part about the mod system is just how creative you can get.
Yeah. What's your favorite build that you've come up with so far?
Oh, That's a very good question. I might have to think about that. I would say I was messing around. This is one that I thought was going to be better, and I think it will be better next season after looking at the Verity's brow buff. But I found an Adrenaline Junkie SMG, and I was trying to pair that with Middletree Voidwalker and Verity's brow for buffing grenade damage, and then the grenade damage buffs the weapon, and then the weapon gives me additional grenade energy, and that synergy, I always look for that type of stuff, plus with Ashes to Assets and just buffing as many things as I possibly can. So that might be something that I look at. That was a lot of fun off the top of my head.
I had one for my hunter where it was like I could just infinitely skip and it like become invisible and just kind of like roll that all around for a while. But that was when I was doing the pit solo.
Right.
So, Warmind cells. I like how they started that paragraph off with, to be blunt, these are currently too powerful.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, honestly,
And you constantly, I had somebody say it in chat today. They were like, I will shoot my Warmind cells. Thanks. base Warmind cells will get reduced radius of the explosion effect range from 10 to 6 meters. Reduced damage of the explosion of Warmind cells previously 200 to 400, now 50 to 250, which is just nuts. Global reach increases the mod cost of global reach to 3 and reduces the amount of radius increase from 20 to 10 meters. Cellular suppression, reduce the duration of the suppressing effect while using cellular suppression from 3 seconds to 2. And Wrath of Rasputin, reduce bonus solar damage, previously 100 to 200, now 25 to 100. Which, those, much like Anarchy, have been a problem.
Yeah. Too hot for too long. Yep.
Yeah. So, we will see a buff to elemental wells. Elemental armaments will now have an increased chance to spawn an elemental well based on the tier of the enemy defeated. Font of Might's base duration has been increased to 10 seconds and increased the damage bonus provided from 10% to 25%. Is there anything that kind of like sticks out for how this will affect PvP?
Do well spawn
in the next season? Well, no. I mean, like, overall, just all the changes to armor, all the changes to mods. Do you see this kind of like changing anything? I can see the holsters kind of being like more of the big change.
Yep. That and the fact that you can't stack double scabs.
That's a huge one.
That's a big one. Personally, though, I still don't think it's enough. I still think people are going to have too much ammo. But it's certainly a step in the right direction, and I'm okay with them taking smaller steps to correct an issue rather than just coming in and just obliterating something and then taking too long to find that happy medium. So I'm happy with it as an intermediary step.
Are you excited about the new changes coming to Trials season 15?
I am. I'm very excited to hear more about it on the 24th. But I think that it's, on paper, I can assume some of the things that are happening. They've got to find a way to re-incentivize it. They've got to find a way to protect against some of the skill creep that's happening. It's to the point where I have played an absurd amount of PvP for somebody that's, as busy as I am, and it's beyond me at this point. I mean, it's like I don't feel comfortable playing the mode. So, and I've 90% of my playtime is in PvP. So if I'm feeling like that, the casual gamer is not going to go into the game mode, and everything is just worse. So they've got to find a way to re-incentivize that, make that more rewarding playlist. And I think they've definitely heard all of our feedback. They see the numbers. They see how everything has kind of happened since they brought it back. And Nomad was all over this. I think in like the second or third week, he dropped a video that's saying, hey, skill creep is going to murder this playlist. And going back to watch it, it is like he was dead on. It's like Nostradamus type of stuff. It was crazy.
Oh yeah, dude is a mind when it comes to
yeah, for sure.
Let's see, we have. Oh man, Iron Banner's coming up next. what are your thoughts on Iron Banner, gang? What are you thinking?
Super excited for my pinnacles to be 4 primary weapons.
I'm excited that they are buffing, or I shouldn't say buffing, that they're giving a reason to wear the armor in the play mode. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
They did that back in D1, and I like that mm-hmm. they're bringing that back. The new weapons look cool. I know True Vanguard's happy. He's got himself a crispy new pulse rifle and a sidearm. So it looks cool. The new armor is not exactly my style, but I like the fact that it's there. And I'm thrilled for people that really dig the style.
Yeah. That was a conversation on Twitter that I was just like, the entire time.
Yeah.
That it came up in my timeline.
It's just so different from everything else we've had. I like
very
it.
Different. And it mm-hmm. might grow on me. And also, you know, the angle is a little off because it's an underneath upward angle. Mm-hmm. It might look different in game, but yeah, it's certainly unique. And it's one of those sets where it kind of gives you, if you like the armor, you have to get all the pieces because I don't know how that would work with anything other than that set. And they're doing a pretty good job of starting to build sets that everything kind of looks cohesive together. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge mm-hmm. fan of the Destiny 2 armor overall.
I can see the arms, like specifically the arms on the Hunter going well. This is the Destiny fashionista in me. Now that we have all the fashion options in Destiny 2, like I can see those arms on the Hunter being like a pretty good addition to several sets that I use. Like, I think that's probably transmog might be one of the best reasons to grind out mm-hmm. those sets. Go ahead.
I really wish more arms were symmetrical because everything's so. If it messes with my ADHD and OCD, I don't like it.
No, that makes sense.
I just miss symmetry.
Yeah. But asymmetry is beauty. that's how you look like you. That's how everything looks different.
Yeah. I don't have to look at that in a game. In something that's fictional.
Oh, man. But yeah, we will be getting a new pulse rifle called the Forge's Pledge Pulse. And the Peace Bond sidearm next season, as well as a new perk on the Iron Banner armor called Iron Lord's Pride. Wearing a piece of this armor grants a small chance of an enhancement prism dropping at the end of an Iron Banner match. I mean, that kind of truly makes it in-game activity, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By giving like an enhancement prism mm-hmm. chance. Each additional piece worn increases the chance, capping out at 4 pieces total. Defeat your foes with Fury of Iron Forge. Show no mercy. Next few weeks, we will begin to collect all of these new rewards. Stay tuned for announcements.
One of the things that I'm hoping that they carry over from Reese Walker is mm-hmm. the guns being on fire when you're in a triple cap situation. That's mm-hmm. so cool. Aesthetically, it just looks awesome. So I hope that that's the same, that they do the same thing or something similar with the pulse and the sidearm.
I had no idea about that. That's really cool.
It's so awesome. It looks gorgeous. And it only happens in Iron Banner. It doesn't happen in regular control.
That is
super cool.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed that either. That sounds bonkers.
I wonder if they could do something like that with the armor too. Like set my hands on fire. Sure. Set my hands on fire. Like when I'm punching somebody, I want my hands to be set everything on fire. There's more fire.
Douse me in gasoline, light me on fire. Yeah. I want an immersive gaming experience.
Send me to the capture point on fire. Right. I want to burst everybody into flames.
Exactly.
Oh my god, that would be crazy. I mean, I'm sure that they could do that on armor if they're able to do it on weapons. Yeah. You just may not be able to see it as much in the first person view.
It's probably third person. It's probably wasted resources, to be honest. But it'd be cool. It would be cool.
They probably wouldn't do it in third person because of the changes to 3PP. Yeah, that's true. PvP all the way around. So yeah, that would be interesting. Let's see. While we're discussing, I'm also grabbing questions from the audience. So forgive me if I pause for a second. We also have, I think, one last thing down here at the end. Sandbox twabs down, one more to go. Next week, we'll have some fun details on weapons. All I have to say is get ready for the season of Voop. No, that's not the official name of the season. I'm just excited about the fusion rifles. We'll have a champion mod next season, not to mention the upcoming fusion rifle changes, which we'll cover next week. Cheers, DMG. So, what are you thinking they're going to be doing to fusion rifles? Do you think they'll be getting a significant buff?
I think that they're going to do something similar to what they did with hand cannons, mm-hmm. in that there were too many archetypes, and I think that they're going to start to shuffle some things around and combine some things, because it's honestly too difficult to balance the sandbox when you have so many different rate of fires and everything. So that's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I mean, I'm not sure that they might try to change something with the bolt pattern of some of the lesser used to make them tighter and easier to land shots. The rapid fire ones mm-hmm. have a very unforgiving spread on the fusion bolts that fire. So they might do something like that. But if I had to guess, I would say they're going to consolidate and make fewer archetypes, and that'll make it easier for them to tune going forward.
Yeah,
I could see that happening.
Mm-hmm. Less to tune,
exactly.
Less people angry about.
Yep.
About certain things. Well, that pretty much closes out the TWAB section of the conversation. What say we get to some audience questions? You guys into it?
Love it.
Sick.
Yes.
All right. Hot Rod 55 asks, "Do you think they might bring Crota back with Witch Queen? With changes, of course."
I feel like Crota is less likely than King's Fall.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be cool if they brought Crota back as a dungeon rather mm-hmm. than a raid.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, that'd be a perfect dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I miss that bridge.
Me too.
Building the bridge.
Donk!
Going across. Yeah, and like... when they updated it with Age of Triumph, where you had everybody had swords and they're just
yeah, it was so much fun
the entire time.
The chaos of it was just amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, that was pretty crazy. I don't know if like I agree. I kind of agree with you that King's Fall is the raid that I would think that they would bring back for like a nostalgia purpose. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of hit a perfect tone with the rhythm of releasing new content versus nostalgia content, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it came to Beyond Light, we had so many months, so many seasons of that. Then we did VOG. Mm-hmm. VOG was the nostalgia content. Mm-hmm. And that's going to last us through till Witch Queen, right? So I like the idea of having a lot new out the gate, and then once everybody's kind of like settled into, okay, well, I don't have as much new to do. They inject a little bit of nostalgia for those who have been playing since 7 years ago, and now,
shit.
God, yeah,
getting so old,
right? Yeah, exactly. Oh no, I feel great about that too.
Can I make a joke real quick?
Sure,
I gotta throw this out there. I've been playing Destiny for longer than my marriage lasted.
Somehow the two were really but yeah, I don't know, it's kind of crazy. I really like the injection of nostalgia, especially when it comes to people who never experienced that content previous.
I mean,
because like it's all new stuff to them
for sure, and if we get King's Fall back, I cannot wait to just introduce somebody to the I don't know what I can and can't say on here, so I can't wait to introduce somebody to the famous wall room.
If you know what I mean. Oh, to the dick wall?
Yeah, I don't know if I can say it or not, but yeah.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine. I don't have to edit it out in post or anything, so it's fine. That was kind of... I keep thinking about, like, what they would actually change in King's Fall, because we saw so many, like, little intricacies with Vault of Glass, right? Like, the randomization of the oracles, or, like, the like how the fanatics come in waves, the injection of champions into the raid, as well as the chicken walkers. I don't know how they'd change King's Fall down the line to make it more difficult, because it was already like a super mechanics heavy
raid. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, yeah, that was one of the craziest ones.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, you might not have to change a lot. Just add some champions in there. I do. Yeah. If they were to bring it back, I do think they would change the in the sisters encounter, the Torn Between Dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing that they would change the most.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be random.
Right. It would have its own thing.
And it would rotate between players more.
Oh boy. That's super fun. That was kind of my role, though, the Torn Between Dimensions. that was my favorite thing to do, because you're just like...
That was a lot of fun. All you're doing is platforming. Listen, that was fun.
We're just taking laps. It's fine.
I'm rounding third. Guys, get ready.
I want to do that with mouse and keyboard so bad.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Get a Zim. Just get a Zim. It's that easy.
But I don't want to go back to 30 frames per second.
No, but do it. That's the difficulty.
Your frames, yeah.
They cap your frames at 30. Oh, God.
Can you imagine if they put a debuff in the game that just sapped your frames?
Oh, my God. That would be nuts.
Hardest content in the game.
The PC players would just go insane. Not my frames. Take my eyes, but not my frames.
Oh, man. Jake Cazada, 1992, asks, do you think that they'll ever bring Destiny 1 on PC?
No.
Not in full.
No. I think they're just going to keep doing this like greatest hits type approach that they're doing now.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of perfect.
It's perfect.
They're remastering it in bits and just releasing it when they have to.
Yep.
Kind of.
While we know that Bungie is expanding a lot, I don't think they would take the time to port everything over and upgrade everything over into the new engine, new everything to PC when we already have a fully functional, almost the same game.
Yep.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah. And I mean, they're hiring a lot of people. and
you should see the studio.
I have not even. I would love to. I mean, you've been there more recently.
Yeah, I didn't go. I didn't go to the studio itself. We just drove by it a few times. But it's like full on under construction right now. They're expanding so much.
That's really good to hear.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't know. They'll never port it one for one over. We're gonna get these tiny little experiences that fit overall, and then. Maybe one day we'll just have Destiny Universe or something.
Yeah, maybe.
And like it'll all exist, but it takes them. I think they talked about how much time it took them to port maps over. Even recently with the PvP update, they were talking about like how long it took them to take those assets, put them into the new engine, relight and everything. So it just takes a massive amount of work. So I'm excited for anything they do in the future. When it comes to the next question, Ophi the Violet Keeper, questions number one, how is it that Dan got Vex but not eyes? I do have eyes. And two, if they're making trials more casual and incentivizing, do you see them implementing the D1 bounty system for how loot is distributed?
I hope so. If they... I'm trying to think. I don't know if there's a better way than the D1 system. Mm-hmm. I hope that there is. Mm-hmm. if there is, I'm not sure what it is. But they just, I could play 2.5 hours of Trials and walk away with like a bond and a gun, like two guns. And basically then I just go and I throw my tokens at my one token per loss. Or is it one token per win and zero per loss? I think it's one token per win. I don't even remember. It's been so long since I played it. But
yeah,
regardless, they just need to completely revamp that. I think D1 would be a good start, just completely mimicking that system. But I'm hoping that there is a better system and that we'll hear more about it on the 24th.
Heck yeah. Yeah, it's it seems like it'd be more – they're leaning more Lord Shaxx on this than they are anything else when it comes to Trials. Just if they're flattening that experience, it, Trials should be more rewarding. Like overall, just people want the weapons. They should get it for playing the game. It shouldn't be the Destiny 2 year one system where it's like, I'm in a clan and my clan did the trials and I got this gun.
Right.
And my friends are super salty about it because I didn't do anything.
Thanks, buddies.
Yeah, that was too far.
That was something else.
That was too far in that direction, for sure.
But yeah, I anything to get that population up and to incentivize people to try it, because I like, since I did, I think I've done Trials only when it was Trials of the Nine.
Oh shit!
I think
that's
it. Yeah, and did that, got that clear. Never dove in again because I had no incentive to.
Right,
I didn't have anything that I really wanted. So if I think there's the SMG is the only void SMG in the game right now. Is that correct?
But I like it.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is the SMG the only void SMG in the game?
No, there's the Future War Cult void SMG.
Okay.
Stochastic variable.
Gotcha. Well, at one point it was.
Right.
I think. So,
I think before this season it was.
Mm-hmm. Which, that's another thing that we should maybe talk about is how they handled factions. And them leaving the game.
I loved that.
We might be remiss. God.
I got a screenshot of Agora saying, "The factions are no more." So perfect.
Cool. That's it.
Yeah.
This thing that we've been wanting back for 2 years is just nothing. You get a little snippet.
It makes sense for story economy.
Yeah.
They now have three less characters to worry about.
Exactly.
So
they all agree that Dead Orbit had the right play and they all left.
Someone in the chat corrected me. The stochastic variables arc, not void.
Arc.
So I think that is actually the only void SMG.
Yeah. Oof. Well, then like, yeah, that would incentivize me to play it more if it was more rewarding. Like to like have a higher chance at that. But I don't know. We'll see. Last question of the day from ThawZero. I want Iron Banner cards to focus either armor or weapons. What are your thoughts on this? Yes.
Please, literally, God. Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
If it's not that, I personally feel like every endgame vendor or pretty much every endgame vendor should be reworked to be more like the Deepstone Crypt, you know, where we have spoils and everything and we can focus on what we want. That would just be so much healthier and just be so much more respectful for the player's time.
Yeah. I've also talked about this recently, like probably like 3 or 4 episodes ago, where it's like we have a system where you can focus to get certain armor types when it comes to the exotics, when it's the legendary or the master loss sectors, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that rolls through. It's like, okay, you can get the chest or you can get the legs or you can get the arms, and that rotates on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You could do the same thing with pinnacles. If like to really help focus in on that while you're doing your light grind.
I mean, if we're just if you had like a daily bounty that gave a specific armor piece every day and it was just super extensive, you would have to use almost your entire play session just due to that bounty. I think that would still be worth it. I think that would be more rewarding than what we currently get now. Like I said earlier, I only get kinetic weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's and the fact that bonds, or I shouldn't say bonds, but my warlock is showing, class items are still in the reward pool. I mean, we have the ornament. Once you get it, I feel like, I don't know. Once you get it once, I feel like maybe stop. I've gotten, one time I got 4 warlock bonds in a row and my heart just broke in half. It was horrible.
I had somebody excited that they got arms the other day. I was like, good on you, buddy. You earned them. Okay. I know I said that was the final question.
But there's another good one.
Yes, absolutely. You should be able to focus that. Gray Fox asks, with the reveal looming, what D2 announcements would you want that isn't known? TV shows, crossover with 7-Eleven?
I'm not going to lie. Seeing a Destiny TV show would be pretty cool.
It would be pretty nuts.
Deep into the extensive universe that they have lore-wise.
Yeah. I would love to see more comic books.
That would be super cool.
I think comic
too.
Books is the cheaper, more feasible way to do that. And I could see them doing that in the short term more so. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Comic books would be awesome. I would love to see a TV show similar to what Netflix did with The Witcher. I would love to see something like that. I don't want to see any live action movies, but TV show treated the right way could be really special. Yeah.
Could also do like an anthology series.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Each episode being its own specific like lore book.
Yep.
I really miss anthology series, and I'm glad that they're becoming a thing more often than not. Like the What If series that just came out this week on Disney Plus.
Right.
Like I'm into that concept of just like, this is this own little story. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. Twilight Zone, same way. Mm-hmm.
American Horror
Twilight
Story.
Sign me up.
Black Mirror is another really good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But outside of that, that's all the questions fit to print. And that leads to shouting you guys out. Thank you guys so much for joining up. I know it was kind of short notice for Ellie. Thank you so much for joining in the special guest seat, or guest host seat. And Hath, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, man. And I know this was a long time coming as well. So what projects are you working on now? Where can people go and find you and support you?
So I just finished up my latest parody music video, which is called I Need a Cleanse, which is my love letter to Vault of Glass, set to the tune of Feeling This by Blink-182. That's on my YouTube, and it is also up for Movie of the Week on the Bungie Creation. So if you guys enjoy it, please give it an updo. I'm on Twitter at Hathematics, YouTube, it's also Hathematics, and Instagram, it's Hathematics Gaming.
Heck yeah. Perfect, man. Well, thank you once again for being on the show.
Thank you. I really enjoyed my time here.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. We'll have to have you back sometime soon. Ellie.
Hello.
Hi. What about you? Where can people find you on the
internet? Twitch, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube/Ellie Bean. I'm everywhere. I put no effort into anything really except for Twitch.
Yeah.
So. And well.
Oh, man, you're starting to sound like me, Ellie. You need to get over that.
To be fair, my Twitter game is pretty fire.
Agreed, my friend. My name's Danfinity. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and the TikTok at Danfinity, where the eyes are eyes. You can also find me on Twitch 3 days a week, twitch.tv/Danfinity, where the eyes are eyes. I'm kind of taking a hiatus, of course, or of sorts this week. So Tuesday and Thursday, I'm actually not streaming, but Sunday I will be continuing the PlayStation Helps and PvE. And I will have a YouTube video up tomorrow, which is the first YouTube video I've ever published about the LFG site, the 100.io. So I'm nervous. You could tell I'm nervous when I recorded the thing. I found out when I'm explaining something, I don't script it. I say I generally a lot, so that's fun. Every time you hear that, take a shot. You'll be drunk in 6 minutes. outside of that, thank you guys so much for coming and hanging out tonight, and I hope you find what you're grinding for.